ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ओम शांति शांति शांति। प्रज्ञानांशु प्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् प्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्टान् भोगान् स्थविष्टान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुं मायया भोजयन्नः माया संख्यातुरीयं संख्यातुरीयं परममृतमजं ब्रह्मयत् तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् ಸ್ವೇನ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನೇತಾನ್ ಪುನರಪಿ ಶನೈ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮನಿ ಸ್ಥಾಪಯಿತ್ವಾ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ವಿಶೇಷಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ವಿಶೇಷಾನ್ ವಿಗತ ಗುಣಗಣ ಪಾತ್ವಸೌ ನಸ್ತುರಿಯಃ ಗುಣಗಣ ಪಾತ್ವಸೌ ನಸ್ತುರಿಯಃ ವಿಗತ ಗುಣಗಣ ಅಸೌ ತುರಿಯಃ ನಃ ಪಾತು Like mathematical tables, we have to remember this. Sukshmatvat sarvagatatvam, sarvagatatvat nirvikaratvam, avikriyatvam, avikriyatvat niravayavatvam, niravayavatvat akaranatvam, also asangatvam. Asangatvam, no? Untaintedness is the swarupam of the Atma, swarupam of the reality. Reality is ever of the nature of untaintedness, unconnectedness. Being one, it has no relationship with anything, no connection with anything, no association with anything, no association, no connection, no relationship is possible for the Atma, because where's the second thing to have any connection? We can talk about connection, relationship, association with something else. Only if there are more than one, two things, more than one thing, at least. So, if we say Brahman is the karanam, cause of the universe, then what would be the problem? So, Brahman is not the karanam, we already understood very clearly, because changelessness, nirvikaratvam, avikriyatvam, avikaratvam is the nature of the Atma, Brahman. The word changelessness being the nature of the Atma. So, amritatvam, immortality is the nature of the Atma. Because amritatvam, being immortal, means not having an end. Having an end means undergoing a change. So, amritatvam implies endlessness. Endlessness implies deathlessness, the changelessness again. Changelessness being the nature, immortality is also the nature, swarupa. Being one, no connection. Even karanakarya sambandha, even the cause of relationship also is not possible. Because not the cause, there's no effect. Only up Brahman, everything. There's no, just as there's no relationship of the light with anything which shines in the light. What relationship does it have? No relationship, no connection. Because it's non-separate from it. Like that, this Atma obtaining in the form of pure consciousness has no connection whatsoever. Unconnectedness, unrelation, okay, non-relationlessness, and associatedness being the nature. Also, it is made very clear, even if we say, like, parent can be looked upon as a cause of the child. between parent and child, you can say some relationship is there. But here, no such connection possible. Asangatvam. Asangatvam being the nature of the Atma also, he said what? Atma is not the cause of the universe. If Atma is not the cause, Brahman is not the cause of the universe, means there is no such a thing called a creation. Universe is not a product of Brahman. So universe is not the karyam, which means universe is only appearance of Brahman, manifestation of Brahman. That's how Brahman is, in the form of Brahman alone is shining as this universe of countless number of forms, names and functions. There's a second thing other than Brahma. And this appear, why does it appear as many? The plurality, the appearance of plurality is caused by Maya. Maya Shakti. Which again is Mithya, which has no independent existence outside of Brahman. Therefore, if at all you look at this world as something existent, it's only mithya, it's only as though. It is really not there by itself. It's only appearance of Brahma. This fact has been already clarified, and Gaudapada Acharya wants to continue to clarify this fact for our reinforcement. So that this fact is not simply understood, it is remembered, repeatedly dwelt upon, so it becomes ascertained. So that in ascertainment, what happens? I should see what? I am that Atma. In me, the whole cosmos shines. Therefore, even though the whole cosmos shines in me, the awareness, pure awareness, consciousness, I am absolutely untainted, untouched, unaffected, unafflicted by anything that happens, exists in me. I'm free. Okay? That is, that understanding is freedom. Okay. That is why ascertainment. Why does he repeat for reinforcement? Why should he reinforce? We have to ascertain. Why should we ascertain? We have to enjoy the benefit of this knowledge. If there's no ascertainment, means it becomes like a forgotten knowledge. Will be of no use. Okay. Now let us go to. See, we have seen yesterday, I said already, the verses 20, 21 and 22. In all these verses, he repeats the teaching to reinforce the teaching. By way of reinforcing, re-emphasizing, he also negates other people of other views. Okay, let us say 22nd Karika. In the 21st verse, we saw the definition of Swarupam. What is Swarupam? Swarupam is the intrinsic nature which can never undergo any change. And what is the Swarupam of Atma Brahma? Immortality. Being immortal is the very Swarupam. Why being immortal is Swarupam nature? Endlessness, deathlessness is nature. Because Nirvikaratam is the nature. Changelessness is the nature. Being mortal means being subject to death, coming to an end. There is no such thing called end for the Atma. Therefore, being immortal is the nature. That's why we say eternity is the nature. Timelessness is the nature. We say all the changelessness means timelessness, beginninglessness, endlessness. That's why Brahma is said to be ever of the nature of immortality. Amritatvam, Atmanah Swarupam. Okay. If that is the Swarupam, it can never undergo change. But here, there is a group of people who call themselves Parinami Vadinaha. Parinama Vadinaha. Parinama Vadinaha are the people who take Brahman as the Parinami Upadana Karanam. Parinama Vadinaha are the people who mistake Brahman to be a Parinami Upadana Karanam. They do not understand Brahman being the Vivarta Upadana Karanam. Okay. So they do not understand actually what exactly is meant by Swarupam. Swarupam means unchangeable, unchanging, intrinsic nature. They say Brahman is of the intrinsic nature of immortality. Saying that, they also say what? Brahman becomes the universe. Brahman undergoes a change. If they say Brahman undergoes a change to become the universe, because they take Brahman as the Parinami Upadana Karanam, they mean the intrinsic nature undergoes a change. Becoming the universe means Brahman undergoes a change to become the universe means they mean Brahman is subject to death. They mean Brahman is subject to change. Means they change, the very nature changes. Therefore, their very statements are contradictory. Let's see how Gaudapacharya shows here. Actually, there's a verb abhi upa eti, abhyupaiti. Abhyupaiti is a verb which means admitting as an argument. Admitting as an argument is somebody admits as an argument. Okay, it is abhyupaiti, that means meaning of the verb. So, accepting, agreeing with other person's view, and then helping him see the fallacy in his thinking. Okay, let me accept what you say. Then let me clarify you this. This is called, you know, such an argument. Okay, if accepting other person's view, and as though accepting, and helping him see the defect in his fallacy in his thinking, in his view, is called Abhyupetya Vadaha. Abhyupetya Vadaha. Abhyupetya Vadaha. In fact, it's a combination of presupposition and imagination. Okay, is this Abhyupetya Vadaha. So, what is his view? Let us understand first. Because he doesn't give everything here. These Parinamavadis are the people who think that originally Brahman is, before the creation happens, for them the creation really happens, originally Brahman is, and that absolute reality or ultimate truth, there's ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is of the nature of immortality. Immortal, ultimate reality, absolute reality is there before creation. They believe this. They say this. And that ultimate immortal reality undergoes a change. And becomes what? Becomes jivas and jagat. So all jivas plurality of jivas is real. The jagat is real. So, one has Brahman has become. So, immortal reality undergoes a change and becomes a mortal jivas and mortal world of objects. And again, what should you do? And the jivas, the Shastra prescribes lot of disciplines. Live a life of karma yoga, practice meditation, and worship, pray, and do many sadhanas, follow tapas. All disciplines are prescribed by the Shastra. Following all those disciplines, strictly practicing many sadhanas, and this jiva has to become really, okay, and progress, and he has to again attain an immortality. Immortal Brahman becomes mortal jiva with all limitations and going to samsara and practice Lord, going through all these disciplines, practicing these disciplines. Again, as a result of practicing these disciplines, he will attain what? Immortality. Okay, this is view. He assumes the jiva, practicing all these things, he will attain immortality. This is parinama vadaha. Many people think that way. They do not know that their parinama vadis are not, but they think we have come from Bhagavan and where we are here, individuals, and we have to work very hard, we have to practice all these disciplines, and practicing all these sadhanas will definitely one day will help us attain that position of being Brahman with immortality. Okay. No, he is going to explain. Let us see the Karika first. Swabhavenamruto yasya. Swabhavenamruto yasya. Bhavo gacchati martyatam. Bhavo gacchati martyatam. Swabhavenamruto yasya bhavo gacchati martyatam. Swabhavenamruto yasya bhavo gacchati martyatam. Kritakenamrutastasya. 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 Katham sthasyati nischalaha. Katham sthasyati nischalaha. Katham sthasyati. Sthasyati nischalaha. We don't have complete sentences, but still we make it. So here, for this Parinama Vadi, according to him, Swabhavena Yasya Amrutaha Bhavaha. Yasya, for him. Swabhavena Amrutaha Bhavaha. This Atma or Brahman, the absolute reality, is by its very nature, is immortal. Amritaha bhavaha swabhavena. Essentially, naturally, intrinsically, the nature of reality is immortal, immortality, immortal. But what happens? Then martyatam gacchati. Martyatam gacchati attains the status of being mortal, becomes mortal because of the creation, isn't it? Martyatam gacchati. He is asking now that what happens? He stops here. He doesn't explain again. And this martyatam gacchati means is born in this world as jivas, and becomes Jagat also. Then the Jiva again has to work hard to attain immortality. First of all, what do we say? It is not possible to attain moksha as a result of action. Any amount of sadhanas you practice. So practicing sadhanas, practicing various disciplines is not wrong. Of course, very important, very, very important to practice disciplines to prepare our mind only to convert our immature, unrefined mind into a refined mind. But not for moksha, isn't it? Mental refinement, all the disciplines should be followed choicelessly for mental refinement. Because refined mind alone can discover the truth, can take ownership of the truth as oneself, one's own essential nature. Refinement. So what is prescribed for refinement is mistaken to be the means of attainment of immortality. That's one mistake. First thing. Second thing, if at all we accept his view. So Gaudapada Acharya presents an answer for such a thinking. He's answering this whole karika is presented as an answer for clarifying such a person's doubt. So again, this Jiva again, through his prasadhanas, if he attains immortality, that immortality is what now? Product of his kritakam, means product. Something is not complete. That's why I had to say in between this some little story. So here, kritakam means product. So that immortality attained by Jiva through the practice of his upasanas, meditation, etc. is what now? Karma phalam. Karma phalam is a product. Result of any effort. Result of any action. Any sadhana is a product of sadhana. Karma phalam. And karma phalam is time bound. Isn't it? Time bound. Any karma is time bound. Any sadhana we practice is time bound. And all accessories used in karma are also time bound. Karma phalam is time bound. There's no such thing called time bound karma can produce timeless moksha. Timeless immortality. It's not such a thing. It's completely against the law. But still he believes that. Therefore he says, and such, if at all we accept, such an immortality, if at all, okay, attained as a result of practicing these disciplines, as a product, that immortality, katam nischalahastasyati, how will such immortality attained as a product of his efforts, practice of disciplines, will remain? Katam stasyati, how will it remain? Will it remain forever? No. Kritakena amrutasya, katam nischalahastasyati, the verse itself doesn't say everything, so we had to, okay, so this person attains immortality as a result of his practicing various disciplines. According to him, that's how he assumes that one can attain immortality. So that immortality being a product of all his practice of disciplines, etc. Katam stasyati nischalaha. How will it remain changelessly? That immortality again will become mortality. already the immortality, the nature of Brahman's nature being immortality, that immortality has undergone a change according to him. If at all again immortality is attained, there is no guarantee that immortality will be permanent. Katam nischalahastasati, that immortality will not remain forever. Again, that will be lost. Isn't it? Therefore, what he says, that immortality implies freedom, mokshaha. So that freedom, that moksha, in terms of immortality, attained as a result of any sadhana, will be time-bound. Is it? And such freedom, such immortality is not desirable. Therefore, what? Really speaking, it contributes for some sort of, even anirmoksha prasanga. It contributes for even having to lose the very moksha. So it doesn't sound correct here. Because moksha that is aspired for is permanent. If moksha is aspired for is permanent freedom, permanent happiness, permanent everlasting immortality, then it cannot have a beginning. Anything which has a beginning will have an end. It cannot have a, moksha can, what is aspired for cannot have a beginning at all. Therefore, it cannot have an end also. If something must be, moksha which is aspired for cannot have an end and beginning and end, it must be already there. It must be already there. If it is already there, it must be there as the very nature of the reality. What is already there is reality. And being the very nature of reality as the reality, it is something to be discovered, not to be attained. So moksha is not something to be attained, it is something to be discovered. What is already there cannot be attained, need not be attained. It is something to be known. Therefore, if it is attained as a result of an action, it is subject to get lost. Anything attained is subject to get lost. It cannot be there permanent. That is the nature of anything which is attained. Anything attained is of the nature of getting lost. Anything which is any association, newly associated, anything associated newly, definitely becomes subject to get separated. Therefore, moksha attained cannot be permanent. Such moksha is not desirable also. Therefore, here it is, it has the defect of not being able to be a means of attainment of everlasting freedom. His idea, his view, contradicts the here itself. Okay. Therefore, repeatedly it is said, moksha, the freedom in terms of immortality, is already there as very nature of oneself. And it is just, one has to claim it, take ownership of it, just by correcting the notions, wrong notions one has about oneself. The correction of notions one has about oneself happens when one's perspective change happens. For perspective change to happen, all that one wants is just knowledge. Jnanat eva kaivalyam. Knowledge alone is needed. For moksha, no other effort is required. For moksha, one needs only jnanam. Shankara Bhagavatpada, in many of his, he loves his condemning people, jnana samuchyavadis. People who want to combine karma with the jnanam as a means of attainment of moksha. He condemns everywhere in all his commentaries. But here definitely, he doesn't talk about jnanam at all. Just work very hard and then get it. So that's why we should not undermine all the sadhanas disciplines such as Karma Yoga or Upasana, etc. They are all very important disciplines one should follow for mental refinement. But for moksha, what one needs is only jnana. So without practicing sadhanas, without living a disciplined life, mental refinement is not possible. Without mental refinement, jnanam, it is not impossible to attain jnanam. But mere mental refinement alone does not become jnanam. Still it will be incomplete, isn't it? That is why one needs jnanam. What is needed for this moksha is just one has to discover the reality being oneself. In the vivekha knowledge of one's own self being Brahman, one can see how the whole being non-separate from oneself. Okay. Therefore, he says, that which is essentially, intrinsically immortal, becomes mortal after the creation, and then being born as a jiva, as individual, again by his hard work, when a person attains immortality, that immortality will be what? The product of his efforts. How such a newly produced immortality, as a result of action, as sadhanas, will remain forever. Katham nischalaha stasyati. That is the teaching, literal meaning of this karika. Let us see how Shankara Bhagavatpada explains that further. Yasya punaha, punaha again, vadinaha. He only mentions the word vadi. He does not say which vadi. Okay? Vadi means a disputant. But who is the disputant here? Parinamavadi.
Page who is the Parinamavadi?
Yeah. So Parinamavadi is a person who is of the strong view that reality is Parinami Upadana Karanam. Which means poor Brahman has to undergo change to become the universe. Okay. Swabhavena Amrutaha Bhavaha. According to him, Amrutaha Bhavaha Subhavena Martyatam Gachati Paramarthataha Jayate. Martyatam Gachati. See Shankar, our sentence. Subhavena Amrutaha Bhavaha. So this reality which is intrinsically, essentially of the nature of immortality, which is essentially immortal, Martyatam Gachati means what? Becomes mortal, attains mortality. Being born in this world as a jiva. Being born in this world, becoming jiva in this, jivas in this world, becomes a mortal beings. What's the meaning? Shankaracharya says, paramarthataha jayate. Really, jiva is born, universe is born. Means Brahman is born as jiva and Jagat. That's the meaning. Paramarthataha jayate means really it is born. He says, tasya pragutpattehe vacha person, vacha parinamavadi, who believes that Brahman is upadana karanam, according to him, utpattehe prak, before the creation, saha bhavaha, swabhavataha amritaha. Before creation, the absolute reality was immortal intrinsically, essentially. So nature of the reality was immortality, according to him. Means, Shankaracharya says, saha amritaha, swabhavataha amritaha bhavaha iti, what he says, pratignya, his proposition, his statement, his promise of, I mean, his statement of saying that Brahman was immortal before creation. Brahman, or the, because we use the word Brahman, okay, the absolute truth, absolute reality is of the nature of immortality. What he says, that statement is also what? Mrisha eva. Pratignya mrisha eva. His statement itself is what? False. His statement revealing the nature of reality before creation, being immortal, is false statement. Simply he says, immortal. Immortality, Brahman was immortal before the creation. Why? Because that is nature of Brahman. Being immortal is nature, intrinsic nature. Saying this, he says what? Brahman has undergone a change and then really is born as jiva. Paramarthataha jayate. If he says that, pagutpattehe amrutaha swabhavataha amrutaha bhavaha iti tasya pratignyamrishayeva. That person's promise, that person's statement, okay, of nature of Brahman before creation being immortality is false, is not real. There's no truth in his, what he says. Okay. Now he's asking, if at all we say, katam tarhi kritakena amrutaha bhavaha tasya. Kritakena amrutaha tasya bhavaha. Then how can, okay, then immortality again. Amrutaha bhavaha kritakena. How can that immortal nature, immortality, be a product? How can, if immortality is the nature of the reality already, how can become the product? Again later on. Kritakena amrutaha saha katham sthasyati nischalaha. That immortality attained as a product of one's sadhanas, one's or practices of disciplines, etc. How will it remain changelessly? Amrita swabhavaha katam nischalaha sthasyati. That immortality attained, how will it remain forever without undergoing any changes? Tatha nakathanchit sthasyati. If at all he says that immortality is attained, that immortality will not stay, remain forever. Sthasyati. Atmajati vadinaha. They're also known as Atmajati vadinaha. This Parinama vadinaha are also known as Atmajati vadinaha. But here Atmajati vadi. Atmajati vadi means the person who believes that Atma undergoes a change to becomes the universe and the jivas. For a person who thinks that Atma undergoes a change and is born as jivas and the universe, for such a person, sarvada ajam nama nastieva. For such a person, there is no such a thing called unborn at all. There cannot be something which is unborn at all. If somebody is of the view that many jivas are born, for such a person, has no understanding of what is really unborn. You got it? A very important lesson here. Do you see this? If a person says, if I really think that the many jivas are really born, the universe is really born, which means I do not have a clue of what is absolutely real, what is immortal, what is unborn. I have no meaning. Simply say Atma is ajaha, Atma ajaha, Atma is unborn, Brahman is unborn. We can simply say this. Being Atma is unborn, Brahman is unborn, birthless means we must understand, okay, we must have known that absolute reality is of the nature of changelessness. If that is the nature of the Brahman, then there is something, there cannot be something called origination at all, creation at all. Therefore, he says, very clearly he says, Ajativadinaha sarvada ajam nama nasti eva. There cannot be something called unborn at all for a person who believes that Atma has undergone a change to be born as Jivas and the universe. For him, sarvam etat martyam. For in his understanding, definitely, everything that is his only mortal. He can only have the understanding of everything being mortal. He cannot have a clue of what is birthless and what is unborn. Ataha, therefore, he says, anirmoksha prasangaha. Anirmoksha prasangaha. Therefore, there is a situation of having the defect of unattainment of moksha. Anirmoksha prasangaha. I already explained to you, isn't it? There's no way of attaining moksha. Which means moksha, according to moksha, is something, an event, okay? It is an event which has to happen. So which can be, moksha is something to be attained for him. Which means this person does not have the understanding of, he doesn't have understanding of the difference between the apekshika mokshaha, enjoyable in heaven, and nitya mokshaha. There's an apekshika moksha, temporary freedom. Nitya moksha, permanent freedom. Permanent freedom is something which is desirable for all, that which is aspired for all the beings. Nitya moksha cannot be attained, it has to be discovered. Whereas apekshika moksha, temporary freedom can be attained as a result of actions. Okay? Of course, we have in whole of 8th chapter, in Bhagavad Gita, Akshara Brahma Yoga, Bhagavan talks about how one can combine the performance of ritual and practice of meditation. Okay, one can earn abundance of punyam. As a result of that, and also in, of course, all other Upanishads, in Katho Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, even in Chandogya, many Upanishads we find this, Upasana Karma Samuchaya Phalam. If a person practices also meditation, well, performs specific rituals also. If he lives in a certain way as prescribed by the Shastram, then definitely the person can earn abundance of punyam. That punyam, if it is a nishkama karma, nishkama upasanam, it can help him, it can contribute for his mental preparation also simultaneously. Otherwise, sakama karma, the person will earn punyam. As a result of that punyam, it has a possibility of breaking open the solar disk and traveling through traveling through Shukla Paksha, the Shukla Gatihi, solar path, and attaining Brahma Loka. Or going to higher lokas, one can enjoy exhaust punyam, enjoying only pleasures, no pain at all. When the punyam gets exhausted, one has to come back. That moksha is what? Apekshika moksha, temporary freedom. Every day we have apekshika moksha. When you fall asleep, for few hours of freedom we have. Isn't it? But not nitya moksha. And if at all, a person earns a lot of punyam, and he doesn't go to other ordinary lokas, he goes straight to Brahma loka, highest of the lokas. And he can say, after going to Brahma loka, I attain moksha. Please remember here, traveling is earning punyam, is for traveling to Brahmaloka. Okay, that's all. But attainment of, not for attainment of moksha. The whole travel, punyam you earned is what? To travel through specific, special path. To be eligible to travel through specific path and to attain Brahmaloka. Attainment of Brahmaloka only, but not attainment of freedom. Even in Brahmaloka, one has to discover freedom. One has to, through the knowledge of one's own essential nature, being Brahman, oneself being identical with Brahman, one has to attain jnanam. It is because absolute reality being all pervasive, reality is always available for anyone, anytime, as one's own essential nature. Even if a person goes to Brahmaloka, there also he can attain moksha. How? He has to discover moksha even in Brahmaloka. So, krama muktihi. So, instead of going all the way to Brahmaloka, here itself a person can discover the self, he attain moksha, which is sadhyo muktihi. Are working very hard, earning lot of punyam, traveling through Shukla Gati, going to Brahmaloka also, a person can attain moksha. It is not even then, attainment of moksha is not really attainment of moksha. It is discovery of moksha. Through the discovery of one's own essential nature. It is said that he will be taught by Brahmaji, he can attain, discover moksha. So moksha is something to be discovered as one's own essential nature and as the very nature of reality, which is always there, already there. Okay? Therefore, this Parinamavadi, his doubt is clarified.
No.
Even the, see, whether a person attains krama muktihi. You see, krama mukti means the steps involved. Krama means steps involved. See, you practice these things, earn punyam, and travel to Shukla Gati, go to Brahmaloka. After going Brahmaloka, there also you attain jnanam. You discover the truth, being taught by Brahmaji. Again, there also, atma jnanam has to happen in certain condition. Only as a result of jnanam, you discover freedom. Okay, discovering the reality as one's own self is what? Discovering freedom. There also, that is also atyantika mokshaha. Nitya mokshaha. Nitya mokshaha is also said to be atyantika, permanent moksha, permanent freedom. Krama muktihi is also permanent freedom only, but attained in Brahmaloka. Attained in Brahmaloka as a result of jnanam. That is very important. Attainment of Brahmaloka itself is not attainment of moksha. Attainment of Brahmaloka, attainment of freedom in Brahmaloka. Isn't it? Through the attainment of Maharaj. That is krama muktihi. See, moksha discovered as the nature of the reality, obtaining as one's own self is permanent freedom. It can be sadhyo muktihi, attain here or in Brahmaloka. See, Shankara Bhutpada's one sentence is very beautiful. The person who thinks, Atmajati Vadi means he has no, if he thinks Atma is born, for him there is no such thing called unborn at all. And for him everything is only mortal. He has no clue of what he is talking. Okay. So with this, 22nd Karika is over. It's simple, all simple teaching only. Then now, so Parinama, this Parinamavadi, still, no, he cannot he wants to say creation is real. Duality is real, creation is real. Why he is holding on to this view? Because all Upanishads talk about creation. There is Srishti, he is discussed in all the Upanishads, except Kena, okay? All major Upanishads. If you take many other Upanishads which do not come under the category of major Upanishads, there also Srishti is discussed. So Srishti, particularly, the Srishti is taken for analysis in Brahma Sutras also. Brahma Sutra, very opening Brahma Sutra is what? Janmadhyasya yataha. Even Srimad Bhagavatam in Purana Vyahacharya begins, the first opening verse is Janmadhyasya yatonvayaditarat. He begins with the first verse, Janmadhyasya yataha. Means creation is always discussed. Therefore, if all the Upanishads are the Pramana Granthaha, they talk about the creation, how can we say there is no creation at all? So he puts his doubt now. He presents his doubt. So Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the following karika. Page number 428. But before going there, one sentence, Sanskrit sentence last week, I find it in 427. So Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the following karika by presenting the doubt of a Parinamavadi. So we are going to find an answer for Parinamavadi's question in the 23rd karika. So Gaudapacha does not say it is doubt of, it's an answer for Parinamavadi, he doesn't say that. He simply teaches. But come on, all Parinamavadis, for your doubt, here answer is given, clarification is given by Gaudapada Acharya in his 23rd Karika. He says, okay, how does Shankara Bhagavatpada introduce the following Karika? Let us see here. Now, Parinamavadi is asking this question. Nanu अजातिवादिनः सृष्टि प्रतिपादिका श्रुतिः प्रामाण्यं न संगच्छते. Now what he says, अजातिवादी, he is आत्मजातिवादी, okay, अजातिवादी, all Advaitins are अजातिवादिनः, okay, people who are given to this vision of non-duality as reality or ajatiwadinaha. Paramavadi is atmajatiwadi. He is ajatiwadi. Ajatiwadi is a person for whom there is no creation of anything at all. What is there is only Brahma. All here is only appearance of Brahma. That's all. Finished. Ajatiwadi. So, he is asking, Srishti Pratipadika Shrutihi. Okay? The statement speaking of Vedic statements discussing the creation. Vedic statement speaking of creation does not have any status of being a means of knowledge for the Sajatiwadi. As a pramanyam, it's not a valid statement which serves as a proof for the creation. So, Srishti Pratipadika Shrutihi pramanyam na sangachyate. Pramanyam means what? It is not a Srishti Shrutihi, Vedic statement speaking of discussing the creation does not have any validity. It's not a valid proof or valid evidence valid, it doesn't have any pramanyam, doesn't have any validity, okay? It doesn't have the status of being the means of knowledge for him. By saying this, what he says, these Ajatiwadis really do not, you know, interpret these Vedic statements. They do not see this. My God, in all the Upanishad statements are there. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akasha sambhut. Taittiriyam says, saha aikshata, saha akamayata, no? Saha tejaha asrujata. So many statements in the Upanishads. All of them uniformly speak of what? The creation. But he doesn't seem to be really seeing the validity of those statements. Does not validate those statements. Who? Advaiti, Ajatiwadi. He's asking. And then answer comes. What is the answer? Badam, yes. There is what? Yes, there is not one statement, there are many statements pertaining to the topic of creation. He says, vidyate, srishti pratipadika shrutihi vidyate. I do not deny, he says, I do not deny that there is no statements pertaining to creation. There is, of course, a statement, okay, related to the creation. Srishti pratipadika shrutihi is there in Upanishads. But he says, I know your intention, where you come to. Okay? He says what? Satu anyapara. Satu anyapara. Sa means what? That Vedic statement has completely different purpose. Anyapara. It is of a different, anyapara means what? That Vedic statement pertaining to creation is not for establishing creation. It is for revealing it is for some other purpose. What is some other purpose? He says, saha avataraya upayaha iti avochama. He says, already it was mentioned. Already it was mentioned. It was clarified. It's a repetition, okay? See, I'm not repeating. Gaudapadacharya himself is repeating, okay? And he repeats because Shastram repeats. Sometimes we think, no, we are repeating. No, it's not my repetition. Saha upayaha avataraya upayaha. Oh my God, how many times you say that is upayaha? There is only a method. Creation is present. The topic of creation is discussed in the Shastram only as a teaching methodology. There's the method. Methodology, method of teaching methodology. Specifically for the understanding, avataraya, teaching method used for understanding the fact that there is no creation. See, because there's already belief, already strong, wrong understanding that there is a creation. So that creation is analyzed. Present and discussed. For what? Not to state that creation is real, but to help the students understand that there is no creation. Saha upa avataraya upayaha iti avochama. Already I said this. Already this answer was given. Now he says, idanim uktepi parihare. Idani muktevi parihara. Now, punaha chodya pariharo. Now again, even though already this doubt has been clarified, this question has been answered, already it has been answered, clarified. Still, again, this question and answer. What is creation discussed in the Upanishad for? Again, answered. The Srishti is discussed in the Upanishad for establishing the non-duality of the reality, oneness of the reality, to negate the creation. This answer, okay, again, it has to be given. For what? Chodya pariharo. Chodyam means question, parihara means answer. So chodya pariharo, the question answer, again, even though the answer has been given, we need not repeat this, but again it is taken for discussion. For what? Simply for removing. Shanka matra pariharartho. Simply for removing, eliminating the doubts. Whether this topic of Srishti Shruti Aksharanam Anulomya Virodha Ashanka Matra Pariharartho. Whether the Srishti that is discussed is discussed as favorableness or it has contradiction towards the main teaching of the Shastram. What's the main teaching of Vakshitartham? Vivakshitartham prati. Vivakshitartha means the main teaching. The main topic of the Shastram is what? Okay? Giving the vision of the non-duality of the reality. Helping, discovering the freedom through the vision of the non-duality of the reality, oneness of the reality, is the main teaching of the Shastram. Is the main aim of the Shastram. Isn't it? For that main aim of the Shastram, to accomplish the main purpose of the Shastram, to understand the main aim of the Shastram, this doubt has to be removed. Whether this topic of creation has favorableness or it is as any contradiction. That has to be understood. Why? Because anulomyam means being favorable. Virodha means being contradictory. The creation which is discussed in the Shastram, is it contradictory for the main vision? Or it is favorable for the main teaching. It's supportive of the main teaching. Okay? How can we understand? Which means he's going to explain. Let me stop here and explain before I go to this. Okay? See, when Upanishad statements are presented, all the Upanishad statements must be understood. We should not take only one statement. All the statements revealed in all contexts must be understood. And all the statements must be properly analyzed. So analyzing the meaning of all statements in keeping with the context must be strictly following the rules of analyzing the mantras, meanings of the mantras. So this analyzing the meanings of the mantras, following the rules involved in analysis, is said to be Mimamsa Shastram. So with the help of the Mimamsa Shastram, the help means what? If you follow the Mimamsa Shastram, there's a rule, okay, how mantras' meanings must be analyzed. Mantras must be analyzed, how the meaning should be extracted, what should be the meaning exactly taken. So we have to understand that. Only then you can arrive at the correct meaning. You can't simply read the sentence, you can't the literal meaning of the sentence as Saha Asrujata Brahman Saha Tejaha Asrujata. He created Brahman, saw Saha Aikshata and Tejaha Asrujata. He saw and he desired Kamayata and he created this. He, who is he? Saha means he. What is he here? So you must understand what exactly is meant by that pronoun, what exactly is meant by the verb. Seeing means sweet. Who sees what he sees, what is meant by that? That must be understood also by understanding the meanings of other statements. That is why it's very important for the mantra, meanings of the mantras to be analyzed correctly. That's what in Brahma Sutrani, that's what Vyasacharya has done. He has analyzed for us. And when we study Brahma Sutram, you know, he helps us how we also understand how in what all ways we care to think correctly also. Really enhances thinking capacity. Amazing. Understand. So that is how we must arrive at the truth. You can't simply say, read the sentence, literally translate it, and take the meaning as Shruti's pramanam, Shruti's statement. Of course, Shruti is the pramanam, no doubt. But we have to arrive at the correct meaning, right meaning meant by that verse. Okay, connecting it with the all other meanings of other statements. This connecting all the sentences and seeing all the meanings together, they were extracting the right meaning. No, is said to be samanvayaha. Samanvayaha means seeing the connection of all the statements of Upanishad. Okay. Thereby, you can arrive at the main vision of the Upanishad. Tatparyam, the ultimate aim, the ultimate purpose of the Upanishad has to be arrived at through samanvaya, by seeing the connection with all the statements, understanding their meanings through proper analysis. Okay. Twenty-third karika. Bhutato bhutato vapi. Bhutato bhutato vapi. Bhutato bhutato vapi. Bhutato vapi. Srijyamane samashrutihi. Srijyamane samashrutihi. Srijyamane samasrutihi. Srijyamane samasrutihi. Srijyamane samasrutihi. Srijyamane samasrutihi. Bhutato bhutato vapi. Bhutato vapi srijyamane samashrutihi. Srijyamane samashrutihi. Nischitam yukti yuktancha. Nischitam yukti yuktancha. Yattat bhavati netarat. Yattat tad bhavati netarat. Nischitam yukti yuktancha. Nischitam yukti yuktancha. Yattad bhavati netarat. Bhavati netarat. Ajativadis don't think. Ajativadis do not validate the Shruti statements. Don't make wrong comments. That's the meaning in place, isn't it? He says, Bhutataha. abhutataha. Bhutataha means really. Abhutataha as though, not really. Vapi. Srijyamane. Srijyamane means when the creation is discussed, stating whether creation is real, it is as though Shrutihi Sama. Whether the creation is really there, the creation is as though. Shrutihi Sama. Shruti is equal, Shruti is the same, towards stating whether the creation is really there or not really there. But how we should, he says, Nischitam Yukti Yuktam. Nischitam, the two words, Nischitam Yukti Yuktam Yat Tad Bhavati. Now what is the right meaning of this Shruti statement? Shruti is the same. The right meaning of the statement is that which is ascertained through the proper analysis of the statement. Nischitam. Nischitam means what? The meaning of the statement which is ascertained through proper analysis is nischitam, not simply taken. The meaning of the statement which is arrived at, ascertained through proper analysis, and that which is ascertained through proper analysis also should have what now? The support of the reasoning. It should not contradict reasoning, isn't it? Yukti yuktam cha. So any fact which is arrived at as the meaning of the statement must have been analyzed thoroughly, and that what has been ascertained and is arrived at through proper analysis must have the support of the logic also. Only then that should be taken as the right meaning of the statement. Nischitam yukti yuktam, two words, okay? Nischitam yukti yuktam alone is the right teaching. Yat tad bhavati, that is the right meaning of the statement. Na itarat, not anything else, not simply take the meaning literally. Shruti statements do not change. Shruti convey. Shruti statements are Shruti statements. But what exactly is the right meaning? That right meaning is that, right meaning of the statement is that which is ascertained through proper analysis and also through proper reasoning. Yat tad bhavati na itarat. These are all not, words are not that great words, okay? We had to, see, bhutataha means what? Bhutataha means it really happened. Abhutataha, it falsely happened. Whatever it is, Shruti statements, Shruti is the same. But we have to arrive at the right meaning of what is said in the Shruti through proper analysis, through proper reasoning. Only then we can say our understanding of the meaning we derived from the statement is right meaning. Is it clear? If we literally translate this verse, it will not take you anywhere. Sometimes some verses are like that. Okay. So Shankar Bhagavatpada's commentary, let us read here now. Bhutataha means what? Really. What is his word? Paramarthataha. Bhutataha is Gaudapadacharya's word. Paramarthataha is the meaning given by Shankaracharya. Paramarthataha means really, absolutely. Srijyamane. Srijyamane vastuni. See, srijyamane vastuni. See, it's very careful you have to be. When the object is created, that's literal meaning. How should we take it? When Shruti discusses, talks about the creation, okay, in supportive of it. Okay, when Shruti. Srijyamane vastuni bhutataha paramarthataha abhutataha. Abhutataha means what? Mayaya. Abhutataha is Gaudapadacharya's word. Mayaya is Shankaracharya's word. Mayaya va. Mayavina iva. Like a magician's product. Maybe whether the creation is creation is not real, and the creation is real also. He says, mayavinayo srijyamane vastuni sama, shrutihi sama. Sama means tulya. What is now? Srishti shrutihi sama tulya. What he says is, the Vedic statement discussing the topic of creation is equally, okay, is the same, equally the same regarding where the object, universe is really created or created as though. Having said that, now in between Purapakshi comes, and he has not completed, but he says, oh, then Gauna Mukhyarthayoho Mukhya Shabdartha Pratipattihi Yukta. He says, yes, Srishti talks about creation, okay, Shruti. Then every word has two meanings. What is that? Gaunarthaha Mukhyarthaha. Mukhyartha means what? Mukhyartha means primary meaning. Gaunartha means secondary meaning. And he says, Mukhye Shabdartha Pratipattihi Yukta, taking the primary meaning is always appropriate, isn't it? He says. Okay. Primary meaning should be taken. That is appropriate, isn't it? He says. Why? If you take the primary meaning, really, no, Brahman created the universe. He wants to take that meaning, Mukhyartha. It is when Shankaracharya explains, you can't take Mukhya, which meaning should I take, primary meaning or secondary meaning? That you can't decide by yourself. You can't say that. You can't take the primary meaning of the statement discussing creation. If you take the primary meaning of this statement discussing creation, what happens? Creation becomes real. Okay? So he says, no, you should not take it. We must take only a secondary meaning. Gaunartha. Means what? This statement of Shruti discussing the topic of creation only has what? A of secondary importance, isn't it? So the only secondary, you must take it as only figurative. You can't take it as real. Therefore he says, two reasons he gives. Why we should not take the primary meaning? Why we should take only secondary meaning? Reason he gives, srishtehe aprasiddhatvat. Srishtehe aprasiddhatvam. Aprasiddhatvam means unimportance. Okay, there's no importance given for srishti at all. If srishti is real, importance would have been given. Aprasiddhatva means not having any status of being important. Aprasiddhatvat. The topic of creation does not have any importance. Reason number one. Why not important? It is presented as the means of teaching, method of teaching. It's not for establishing. Therefore, it doesn't have any importance. Second reason he gives, nishprayojanatvat. The discussion on creation does not serve any, there's no specific benefit. If something is discussed means it must be beneficial, isn't it? He says, the statements pertaining to creation are of not any benefit. Nishprayojanatvam. Only one benefit is there. What is that? It is topic creation. The statements discussing the topic of creation serve as a methodology for arriving at the oneness of reality. For arriving at the non-duality of the reality. By revealing the non-separateness of Brahman from the creation. Isn't it? So the srishti, all these statements discussing the creation, present Brahman as a cause. Presenting Brahman as a, not Brahman denotes the Brahman is the cause. Presenting Brahman as the cause, they help us understand the Brahman being non-separate from the so-called universe, isn't it? And the universe being non-different from Brahman, thereby they help us understand universe whole creation being the manifestation of Brahman. They help us arrive at the oneness of reality. This is the only purpose, this is the only benefit. Other than this, no other benefit. There's no specific other benefit here. So, two reasons he is. Anyata, srishtehe aprasiddhatvat, nishprayojanatvat. You cannot take the primary meaning of the statements discussing creation. Iti avochama. This is also not new lesson. Already this fact has been told already. Having said that, now he says, avidya srishti vishaya eva sarva srishtihi. Gauni srishtihi, mukhya srishtihi. Very beautiful. He says, this is a very nice statement. Avidya srishti vishaya eva sarva srishtihi. All creation, whether it is a relatively real creation, okay. Gauni means the creation of duality experienced in dream is what? Gauni srishtihi. Gauni srishti. See, gaunaha artaha means what? Secondary meaning. But gauni srishtihi means what? Okay. As though real creation. Gauni srishtihi, the non-real creation experienced in dream is also product of mithya, product of ignorance. Now mukhya srishti, the so-called the creation which seems to be real compared to the dream, relatively real creation experienced in the waking state is mukhya srishti, is also product of ignorance. Subjectively real world of duality experienced in the dream gauna srishti is also product of ignorance. Any creation is only what? Any creation is caused by some setup by maya, ignorance. So he says avidya srishti vishaya eva sarva gauni mukhya cha srishti. Being caused by ignorance, any creation is caused by ignorance only. It can be dream creation, the creation of dream world is called gauni srishti, or it can be the mukhya srishti is experienced in the waking state. Waking universe, dream universe. Waking duality, dream duality. Any creation is product of ignorance. Being product of ignorance is what is avidya? Maya. Understand? Avidya means maya. You see, avidya is said to be causal body. Remember now. Causal, the cause. What is which causes this creation? Maya, avidya only. Ignorance itself is mithya. Ignorance itself is not real. And how can gauna srishtihi or mukhya srishtihi, subjectively real dream duality, dream world, and objectively real waking world, all this creation being products of ignorance or mithya, not real? He says, na paramarthatah means what? This way there's no real creation. Being caused by ignorance, all these creations are not real. Na paramarthatah, really not there. And to say this, he presents a beautiful quote from Mundaka Upanishad. What is its statement? He says, so paramarthatah na srishtihi means what? Really there is no creation. Why really there is no creation? Because any creation, what we are experiencing, are experienced by us as gauna srishtihi or as mukhya srishtihi, is not, is a caused by avidya, ignorance. Therefore, it is not real. And here, sabahyabhyantaro hyajaha. He presents a beautiful statement from Mundaka Upanishad. There's a mantra which presents the nature of the Atma. This absolute reality, the only absolute reality, the ultimate truth, implied by the term Atma, is unborn, is of the nature of, is unborn, and then being all pervasive, sa bahyabhyantaraha. It is inside and outside of all the beings, which means the all pervasive reality. That very sentence implies what? Being all pervasive, being partless, is being changeless. It cannot be a cause of any creation. It cannot be a cause. Therefore, there's no real creation possible. That's the meaning. Paramarthatah na srishtihi. We can talk. He may say, you know, maybe dream is not real, but this gauna srishtihi is not real, but mukhya srishtihi is real. You must be very careful. These words are used very confusing. Okay? Gaunaha Arthaha means what? Secondary meaning. I mean, creation is not real, as though real. It's only a figurative expression if you say it is Gaunaha Arthaha. Secondary meaning. Creation is real if you say it is Mukhyarthaha. This is primary meaning, direct meaning. But here, Gauna Srishtihi, Mukhya Srishtihi means both creations, okay? Both creation means subtle creation and gross creation, experience in dream, experience in the waking, all creations are what? Here, Avidyakritaha. Being part of ignorance, not real. Na paramarthataha. It's only projections of Maya, projection, products of ignorance, so it's not real creation. Okay. Iti shrutehe. No, Shri Prabhupada concludes the meaning of this 23rd mantra. Tasmat, therefore, shutya nischitam. Shutya nischitam. Finally, he says, shutya nischitam. See, this right meaning, what is to be arrived at as the meaning of these statements discussing creation, arrived at through the proper analysis and also through proper reasoning. That is what that meaning is. Yadi yekameva dvitiyam ajam amritam. This is the right understanding. If you analyze this Shruti statements, the statements pertaining to creation, if you really analyze properly, comparing it with the other statements of the Upanishads, what is the right, final meaning, right meaning, we shall arrive at. That is, yad yekameva advitiyam ajam amritam iti. Absolute reality is one, secondless, unborn, immortal. Okay. Absolute reality being unborn, immortal, secondless and one must be arrived at. As the ultimate meaning of these Shruti statements, through proper analysis of the meanings of these statements. And that meaning, yukti yuktam cha, yukti yuktam, means what? Yuktyacha sampannam. It also does not contradict the reasoning. It also acceptable logically. See, when you arrive at the meaning of a Shruti statement through proper analysis, that meaning should not contradict the reasoning also. Logically also, it must be acceptable reasoning. So, yukti yuktam means yuktya cha sampannam. This is what tadeva iti purvaihi granthaihi avochama. So he says, Purvaihi Granthaihi means what? Gaudapadacharya, Shankaracharya says that Gaudapadacharya has already explained this same thing. What now? Purvaihi Granth, the previous Karikas, 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. In all these previous four Karikas, he already explained this fact. What is the fact? Reality is one, secondless, unborn, immortal, and understanding of this oneness of reality, secondlessness of reality, immortality of the reality is the ultimate aim of what? The Upanishad, through these Shruti statements also. Tadeva Shrutyartha Bhavati. This is what is the meaning of the statements of the Veda. Na itarate kada. Na itarate kada chidapi. Never does anything else become the meaning of these statements. Na kada chidapi itarate. Never does any other meaning is there for these statements. Is it clear? So what he said, the meanings of the Shrutis, the statements of Shruti, statements of the Veda, Vedic statements must be understood correctly in keeping with the context, comparing it with the meanings of other statements through proper analysis and following the rules involved in associated with this analysis. And that meaning also should not contradict with the reasoning. Then that is the right meaning. So he says, therefore what? Even though Shruti presents the statements pertinent to creation, they really do not establish creation. They serve a different purpose. They negate creation, in fact. Having said that, he concludes, now he is asking, okay, we should take the right meaning of the sentence. We can't take the literal meaning of the statements. We should not take the statements and read the sentences and take the literal meaning of the sentences and words. But how should we ascertain what exactly is conveyed by the Shruti? Isn't it? So he's asking, katham shruti nischayaha? Shruti nischayaha katham? He says, when we take the statements discussing the topic of creation, we have to understand the meanings of the statements pertinent to Shruti, also connecting them with other statements. There are many other statements, he says. Nehananeti chamnayat. Page number 429 and the 24th verse I'm reading in Sanskritam. You have the English meaning also there itself. Nehananeti chamnayat. Nehananeti chamnayat. Indro maya bhirityapi. Indro maya bhirityapi. Ajayamano. Ajayamano bahudha. Mayaya jayate tu. Mayaya jayate tu saha. After. In Sanskritam, after. See what happened, both are cut. Actually, in my Sanskritam, Maya comes before Jayate comes later. Okay? But actually, this original sentence from Purusha Suktam. Ajayamano bahudha vijayate, that comes like that. So, he has put the same verse, I think. Maybe they put it correct. It's okay. No, we can correct it, it's no problem. Nehananeti chamnayat. Nehananeti chamnayat. Indro. Maya bhirityapi. Ajayamano. Bahudha. Mayaya. jayate tu saha. Te tu saha. Doesn't matter where it is. The meaning is the same anyway. See, three important, beautiful sentences from three different Upanishads he has picked up. All these are from the original words taken up from the Upanishads, and now they put together as one karika here. See, neha nana iti. Neha nana sti kinchana is the original statement. Neha nana asti kinchana. Ne na iha nana asti kinchana is the original statement from Kathopanishad. He only says what? Neha nana iti. Neha nana iti cha amnayat. Amnayaha means what? Veda. Shruti. So from the Shruti, from the Veda Shastram, Upanishads, we get these statements. Neha nana iti. Iha here. Na nana. There is no real plurality of things. There's no real plurality here. We are perceiving plurality, we're experiencing plurality, in spite of our experiencing it, perceiving it, there's no real plurality. The plurality is as though not real. This is statement number one from Kathopanishad. Indraha mayabhihi. This statement we already came across in the Shankara Bhagavatpada's Bhashyam, isn't it? Indraha mayabhihi. Again, Indraha means the Lord here. Ishvara, the Lord, alone appears as countless number of forms through maya. Mayabhihi. This one, another statement. Which means the plurality of beings, forms, and the duality is only appearance caused by Shakti, the power of Atma, is not really there. Sentence number two. Then ajayamanaha mayaya bahuda jayate saha. Saha means that Atma, that Paramatma, ajayamanaha, not being born, but through maya, as though born as many, bahuda vijayate. Being unborn, ajayamanaha, not being born, that Atma is as though born in manifold ways. Saha means that Atma, ajayamanaha, though being unborn, mayaya jayate, is as though born in many ways through maya. This is the literal meaning. Why he quotes this? He says, you cannot, what Gaudapadacharya means is, when there are statements speaking of the creation, we cannot take the meanings of those statements literally. We have to see whether those meanings of those statements speaking of Shruti, agree with the meanings of other statements such as this. What are these statements say? These statements say, there is no plurality. These are the same, Shruti says. when Shruti says there is no plurality here, when Shruti says is only one Paramatma alone appears as many through Maya, one Paramatma being unborn is born as though born in many ways, all these statements negate strictly the plurality, duality, creation. So we have to connect the meanings of these statements and those statements, because Shruti can never contradict. Okay? First, if our Shraddha is in the Shruti as the Pramana Grantaha, we must understand already, Shruti cannot contradict, Shruti does not contradict. One place Shruti says, you know, from Brahmatma, the whole Jagat comes into being. Tasmadva etasmad brahma atmanaha akasha sambhutaha. There Upanishad says, from Atma, everything comes into being. And here, neha nana asti kinchana. What does it mean? There itself we say, atyam jnanam anantam brahma. It means unchanging. So, the nature of the reality is changelessness, all-pervasiveness. Saying all that, same Upanishad cannot say something which contradicts her own statements. So, Upanishad statements are different and many, and they all are pregnant with the meaning, and there's no contradiction between statements of Upanishads. If we find contradiction, we have to correct our understanding. There's no contradiction. Why Shruti says this, which sounds contradictory? What exactly is the meaning of this statement? What exactly then must be the meaning of that statement? So they must be analyzed. It's called proper analysis. It's called vichara, enquire into the meaning of these statements and words. And that vichara, enquiry, analysis must be how? Not independently, it must be in conformity with Mimamsa Shastram, following the rules pertaining to the analysis of mantras. Through proper analysis, the meaning has to be understood and ascertained. This is what is the meaning. And that meaning ascertained through proper analysis also, we should see that it does not contradict the reasoning. It also has the logical support. Then that is the right meaning. Okay. So, therefore he quotes these sentences. Now, these sentences are also found in the Upanishads only. So here, statement from Kathopanishad, statement from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, and statement from Purusha Suktam. All Vedic statements. Not being born, he is born as though in many ways. Ajayamanaha Bahuda Vijayate. But Mayaya, he adds, how is it possible? Being unborn, how can it be born? How can it appear as many? With undergoing any change, how can it become many? Isn't it? That's what is Maya. That reality has this inexplicable, inseparable power. In the form of, that we understand that power in the form of ignorance. We have a very interesting discussion later on. We'll see here. Now, Shankara Bodhpada comments on these statements presented in this 24th Karika. Yadihi Bhutatahayeva srishtihi syat. If the reality, if the creation was real, if the creation really happened, then tataha satyameva nana vastu iti. What happened now? This vastu becoming many. Nana vastu satyameva nana vastu iti. Tad abhava pradarshanartham amnayaha nasyat. Said there would not have been a amnayaha, means Vedic statement. There would not have been a Vedic statement, Veda mantra, specifically for showing the absence of plurality. Abhava pradarshanartham amnayaha nasya. There would not have been a Vedic statement specifically for showing the absence of plurality, as in this sentence, first sentence. Neha nana asti, neha nana iti. That wouldn't have been there. Because the statement is there, we understand what? Creation is not real, it is as though. Asticha, no, he himself quotes a complete sentence. Neha nanasti kinchana ityadihi amnayaha. See, this ityadihi amnayaha means the Vedic statement such as this, saying there's no plurality here. Dvaita bhava pratishedhartaha. Dvaita bhava pratishedhartaha. All these statements such as nehanasti, kinchana, etc. are specifically for the negation of duality. Dvaita bhava pratishedhartaha. Therefore, negating the duality. Creation. Through the negation of creation, then what do they actually reveal? Tasmate Atma Ekatva Pratipatyartha Kalpita Srishtihi Abhuta Eva Pranasamvadavate. So he says, as this very statement is the proof here. He says, because of this reason, you may understand, Atma Ekatva Pratipatyartha Kalpita Srishtihi. This creation, which is presented by the Shruti, discussed by the Shruti, is specifically for what? Specifically for establishing the oneness of the reality. Atma Ekatva Pratipatyartha. For the clear understanding, for the Atma Ekatva Pratipattihi means understanding, ascertainment of the oneness of the Atma. What is creation for? Srishtihi Kalpita. The creation is simply projected, presented. Creation is said to be projected, presented here. For the understanding of the oneness of the Atma. Therefore what? This creation is not real. Abhuta eva. It is not real. Like what? Prana samvadavati. Like the, how dialogue of prana with other organs. Okay? Like prana's dialogue. Prana samvadavati. Like how there are many statements which speak of the prana's dialogue, how they're all not real. In the same way, this Shruti statements discussing creation also what? Do not establish real creation. How prana samvada is not real, so also creation also is not real like that. Then what is creation discussed for? ஆத்ம ஏகத்துவ பிரதிபத்தி அர்த்தா சிருஷ்டி. ஆத்ம ஏகத்துவ பிரதிபத்தி மீன்ஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் ஆஃப் தி ஒன்னஸ் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா. இஸ் இட் டீச்சிங் தி ஒன்னஸ் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா இஸ் தி மெயின் பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் டிஸ்கஸிங் கிரியேஷன். I think it's not completed anyway, so we'll continue next class. So no class tomorrow, so we'll meet again day after Sunday morning. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate.